inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411, we're sharing a cake. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way. It's the 411, we're sharing K. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411, we're sharing K. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way.
Hello, this is Doremus Jones, pastor of the Breaking the Walls Ministry, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Amen, Ralph. Hello, Nashville. All of our truly wonderful people. On this Sunday morning, overcast looking and everything in the city. But at least it's not raining, okay? So I'm good.
Not yet.
Yeah, I know. I was going to get to that in a minute, but yeah. just wait 24 hours and it always comes back. I guess there's no sense in washing a car now, is it? I learned that about a week ago. Anyway, we are happy to have you up and at 'em today, and we'll be talking about some headlines. Got a lot of stuff in here in my news this morning, as well as some news from the community. And at 8 o'clock, the book is Separated by the Border. So we'll be hearing about that. And the author, I think, lives in Chattanooga, I believe. So Gina Thomas, a writer, speaker, and missionary. That is in the 8 o'clock hour. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm excellent. And yourself?
Simply divine.
Okay.
I am, this weekend just went like boom.
Yeah, it did.
You know, I'm not playing with you. Yeah. It just did.
Just blew by.
It didn't even blow.
Yeah.
It just evacuated.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, as I was coming in today, that it was still Friday. Yeah. You know, I mean, for real. I was like, Lord. Yeah. 'Cause Saturday was just, you know, blip. And you try to cram all things in that you can. But it's you know, it's almost impossible.
That's true.
In 1 day's time period. But anyway, and plus, you know, as the weather's changing and stuff, that you want to do stuff and, you know, be out and about and all that, or just laze around. And for me, it's going to be laze around. Today is laze day.
Yeah.
And I don't even think domestic duty is calling me. I yield to the sofa because I am, you know. But anyway, I before we roll heavy and deep, there's many on the campus, hearts are heavy, and some of the young people in the community that have come in contact with Professor Philip Autry. He was celebrated home in the chapel yesterday, and Dean Curry, just, that brother can preach, okay?
Yeah.
just for the sake of people that don't know, that Professor Autry taught music almost 20 years here and was a renowned pianist and music instructor. And he was, he's a white professor working at an HBCU teaching music. And Negro spirituals and things of that nature. So he has a great deal of respect for African-American music and culture, etc. So his family that were there, they got treated to straight up black funeral. And
the pastor said, oh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because it was closer to what we would have probably experienced with our own people versus, you know, the white experience, the European experience. Because I've been to both. And the Jubilee Singers were just, they sang In Bright Mansions, and I'm telling you, if there was a dry eye in that place, okay, those children, they were just, there's not even words. They were just so, it was pristine, crisp. I mean, it was, I never, that song, what, where they sang it yesterday.
Yeah.
Sounded better than it does on that album. Okay, may I just say?
Yeah.
I'm like,
they rose to the occasion.
Oh, beyond measure.
Yeah.
And the other soloists that were Jubilee Singers soloists and music majors. It was just really wonderful. And he was a part of FIMU Alpha, isn't it called?
FIMU Alpha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another fraternity. That
those
music fraternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all about music. But those guys were very supportive of him and showed up in mass. And students, etc., from other universities came. And it was very, very moving. And because he impacted a lot of people in the education and in musically speaking. And I will, when I see Reverend Dr. Curry, I'm going to tell him.
He preached.
To the point of ridiculous. I was so, just so blown away. I mean, just, he was so good. And just the perspective that he put on it, that, you know, mainstream got it, you know. And then he put some black history in it. And, I mean, we talked, it was just, he did the doggone, okay? If there's such a thing as that in the preacher world.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to tell him that that was just absolutely an incredible. And, you know, I might have to have him do mine. I'm do the share okay, going home. I ain't going yet, y'all. But I'm just saying, you know, because I, but because he really was, I had to, you know, tell him he's working for the Savior. Anyway, so we, Dr. Autry had been on the station a couple of times over the years to discuss a couple of things he was involved in here, as far as working with the students and music programs and things of that nature. So, and he was a big supporter of WFSK. And we're just really, our hearts are heavy for that purpose. And a lot of the professors worked with him for a long time. You know, it's personal.
Yeah.
You know, your co-workers for sure. And everything. So anyway, having said that, I am looking at a full bank of news here and various subject matters to talk about this morning. And I just don't even know where to start. There's so much. Okay, I tell you where I'm not going to start, because I don't want the train off the track before 7:15. I will not start
with
in politics.
Bernie? Okay.
No, I will not start there, because I know the little train that could won't hardly get off bar before time marches on. Let me start here in Nashville. Oh, did I see you with your I voted sticker on?
You did.
When was that?
Tuesday.
Well, bless the Lord.
First, as soon as they opened it up to all the other precincts, yes.
All righty,
got it out of the way.
Yeah, I'm going to have mine on this week.
Yeah.
I'm playing it close to the vest.
Yeah. I try to go early just in case things happen.
I go early because you just don't know.
Yeah, things happen on that last day. Stuff just happens. Anything could happen.
Any.
And I don't mean shenanigans. I mean something could happen in life, and then all of a sudden your whole day is out the window, and you don't get to.
Well, like, you know, car.
Yeah.
Weather.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, life.
Hey.
Yeah. So it's vote the, early, yeah. So yeah. That way you don't say, I meant to vote today, but I had to go.
I tell you what, the way things are going now in this nation, I'm voting in every possible thing that comes down the pike.
Yeah.
So nobody won't be talking about we're going to erase you. We're going
off our database.
We're going to purge you out like you never existed. Yep. And I'll be like, In my office on the door in the closet, I got my stickers as proof I was there. Mm-hmm. I got 20 or 30 stickers in there, and those are real from real. Every time I vote, I put my sticker up just so people can know. Ain't no sense in faking the funk. I have the proof in here that I've been there, done that, because I don't want any mess. It's hard to tell, you know. Now,
it is.
Nowadays, what kind of insane in the membrane stuff's about to come down. You just don't know.
That's right.
And so I stay vigilant and keep my wigs trimmed and burning. Ain't that the old song? That's the old school one right there.
Yep.
Anyway, out of Memphis, federal authorities say they have conducted searches at the Memphis home and business addresses of Democratic State Senator Katrina Robinson. Federal Bureau of Investigation spokesman Joel Siscock confirmed that agents executed search warrants at two locations. They are listed as addresses for Robinson's residence and nursing school, Healthcare Institute Incorporated. The school's website says it received $1.6 million grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for a certified nursing assistance program focused on geriatric populations and educational programs. The FBI declined to release additional details. A spokesman for Senate Democrats said they received no indication the searches relate to Robinson's legislative services.
All right.
So we shall see. Katrina Robinson, that name is so
familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Common,
well,
but not common.
Katrina.
Yeah, hurricane.
Yeah, so you just, you know what I'm got, but what I'm thinking. Anyway, and hopefully this is not a repeat of, was it Operation Walking Horse or something? Everybody gets money that's black. We you under investigation. Tennessee got some history on that.
Ooh. Where'd you get that?
Right.
They already know where you got it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had to keep my eyeball on that and see what the story is. Anyway, out of Nashville, Tennessee is now officially nicknamed the Volunteer State under a bill signed by Governor Bill Lee. When I heard that this week, I thought it always was.
I did too.
I'm like, really?
Maybe that's why the
y'all
license
been calling
plates.
It that, and it wasn't.
So now they can make the official license plates for it now.
Well, we already have it.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Right.
It says the Volunteer State on the tax and stuff.
I just never noticed.
On stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the volunteers, the...
Yeah, but I mean on a tag, on a license plate.
Yeah, you've seen it on things.
I have?
Yeah.
Oh.
You just probably took it for granted.
Okay.
The governor signed the legislation in a video posted on Twitter on Friday. Tennessee first became known as the Volunteer State during the War of 1812 due to its prominent role of sending 1,500 volunteer soldiers. However, despite the popularity of the nickname, the bill's sponsors say it was never officially adopted in the Tennessee state statutes. That's so surprising that it would not have been.
Yeah,
and
no.
People just throw it around and use it like it's nothing, you know. According to the Secretary of State's website, the War of 1812 thrust Tennessee into the national spotlight by showcasing its military and political prowess. So, at last, Governor Lee can sign a bill that has no controversy.
People can agree upon.
Everybody's like, okay, we're touching the grid on this. You're not making anybody mad. He said, I want those bills. Because he's going to want to be doing that stuff to stay in, in the, he's probably liking that gig now.
Yeah.
Since, he hasn't had too many skirmishes down there yet.
Well, he's sticking to friendly territory.
Of course.
Yeah, because if we're going on, 2 years now that I've gotten one email response back from his office regarding an interview and
well,
all Alicia
got one.
That was last year.
Okay.
Well, they said, well,
when he was
we'll
fresh
see what
and
we
new.
Can do. Yeah. But now they don't even respond to my emails.
No.
No return.
No.
Can't even get on his calendar.
No.
Yeah.
No. What's the matter with you, X? Mm. How many years have you been booking this show? Mm. You know Republicans don't respond to us.
Well, that one doesn't. Yeah. Which to me, I mean, come on and speak to the constituents.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
No?
Not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
Let me ask them something
relevant. They're not going to do it. Mm. They're not. Okay. So I just let them, you know, lay where they are.
Okay.
Let them, you know, do what they do. Anyway, we're going to stay in Nashville. Five Republican attorneys general are seeking to block an effort by three Democratic-led states to see the Equal Rights Amendment adopted into the U.S. Constitution. Tennessee General Attorney General Herbert Slattery said the five GOP-led states rescinded their approvals of the ERA amendment before a congressionally mandated ratification deadline more than 40 years ago. The Democratic-led state attorneys general argue that the 1982 deadline set by Congress was non-binding. The five states include Tennessee, Alabama, Louisiana, Nebraska, and South Dakota. They filed a motion on Thursday to intervene in a lawsuit filed by Virginia, Nevada, and Illinois to block the Equal Rights Amendment. So why do I vote?
Mm-hmm.
You have got to be kidding. Equal
rights?
Right
there, right?
Lord, yep. Don't take those from us. Now, next thing you be talking about, y'all got to get on this boat, mm-hmm. and we get ready to take you on a cruise. That's next. You're going to lose everything. Your rights, your vote, everybody. Man, Lord, Jesus. Y'all better stay woke and conscious out there. Awaken, people. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Main Street Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net.
411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4, community news and the traffic report. Then at 4:20 for Black History Month, the spotlight is on Ed's Fish, a family legacy. My guest is owner Pam Drumright. Then at 5 o'clock, racial healing and the pathway to progress. I'm bringing back past guest, Dr. Gail Christopher. She's a nationally recognized leader in health policy. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Support for WFSK comes from the Scribblehorn Symphony Center, presenting Grammy and Tony Award-winning vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater as she makes a rare stop in Music City on Friday, February 28th at Scribblehorn Symphony Center. This fearless voyager, explorer, pioneer, and keeper of tradition will be joined by Bill Charlotte, one of today's leading jazz pianists. Together, for one very special evening, they'll explore a wide range of material with impeccable style, skill, and sensitivity. Tickets at NashvilleSymphony.org.
For something I might have said, please let's forgive the past.
keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. Now, we have one more week heading into the final week of Black History Month 2020. And the shows have been interesting.
They've been great.
They have. That we, every year for the past 14, we have presented a one-hour special programming on several nights a week to make sure the community stays empowered and encouraged. And for the month of February, we devoted to 4, 6, 8 hours to educational programming on Black culture, legacy, etc., etc. So, you know, I particularly the thought on Thursday when they were talking about Thomas Jefferson's owning all those slaves, and then having, you know, the architecture and the design in Washington, and then using them. I mean, I just thought the whole thing, you know. Yep. And so if mainstream of America doesn't know anything, they just need to listen.
Why is that not in history books?
Well, why isn't anything in history books? No one seems to know anything. You know that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that should be taught. Who helped build America? I mean, that will go a long way.
Look, politicians don't even know, okay? Anyway, there are two more left. This Monday at 7 is Poetic Justice. And it's more of about words, spoken word words, and music and things of that nature, and how they've been used to speak to various events that have happened, and examples of that, and people who do it and have done it and become successful at it. And on Thursday is the Patti LaBelle story.
Oh, yeah. Patti.
So,
those Patti pies.
Yeah. I just take some Patti, anything right now, macaroni and cheese. I mean, you know, some greens, you know, whatever she got in the kitchen, I'll take it. She got some eggs. Thursday at 7 is the Patti LaBelle special, and then tomorrow night at 7. Right after Freestyle is Poetic Justice, the final Black History Month specials on WFSK at Historic Fisk University. Now, have you been to any Black History things in the city?
There was a Black History program at Buena Vista Elementary that I went to on Friday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The children had it.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. So somebody had some things for the kids.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's see what we have out of Nashville. Tennessee officials, excuse me, have launched a pilot program offering some appointments and e-tickets for people looking to get their real IDs. The Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security's Driver Services Division says appointments became available on Thursday. I think that's a pretty decent idea, because I heard the lines are long, you know.
Yeah.
E-tickets to secure a place, they started on Thursday. I don't want to wait too long on that one, just in case.
Yeah. Something I don't want to wait at all. Yeah. Those lines are ridiculous.
Yeah, they're going to be, just to make sure that we're who we
Which
say
makes
we
no
are.
Sense. You have an overflow traffic problem, but you shut down some of your driver's license testing centers, and even when you show up, when they open, the line has got like 75 to 100 people in it. So it's like, it's ridiculous.
Because there's so many people that have issues or expiration dates on their licenses. And they would have, if they did it Thursday, they would have got a place in the line at the driver service center beginning on Friday.
I heard some people that they were going outside of Davidson County and driving to other counties. because it was easier, like smaller counties, mm-hmm. and just going to their locations, so they wouldn't have to deal with Metro, because Metro's, I hate to say it, is a mess.
Wow.
I mean, I'm literally hearing people say, well, I drove out to Williamson County, or I drove out to so-and-so.
But you know what, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. it's been like that here for a long time. Yeah. You know, it's not like it's a new problem.
Yeah.
Even before the influx of all these people, mm-hmm. it was still a long line at the driver's center.
Yeah.
Okay, period. So that's a long time affair. The initial pilot will be available for real ID services only and be limited to centers in Gallatin, Hart Lane in Nashville, Oakland, and Maryville. More locations and services will be added. The services can be assessed at the department's website. So, real IDs coming up for everybody, they say. Now, let's get to this right quick, and then we'll grab the community news. Out of staying here in Nashville, the first black basketball player on scholarship in the Southeastern Conference now has a street named after him outside of Vanderbilt University's Memorial Gymnasium. School officials, and other supporters gathered yesterday for the unveiling of Perry Wallace Way. Wallace became the first black player to play in a varsity game on December 2nd, 1967, and he made his SEC debut 2 days later at Memorial Gym. He was captain of Vanderbilt's team when he graduated in 1970. The Metro Council approved a measure back in August to rename the portion of the street. Wallace died on December 1st, 2017. So, that is absolutely wonderful. His name will live on that street forever, and the legacy that he left in the community is a one that many people can point to. You can see black history all over Nashville, in certain places more than others, on the markers and the street signs and et cetera, et cetera. And maybe one day we'll see it in the Black Civil Rights Museum of Nashville. I have a dream, Martin Luther King said. I didn't just start talking about this. I've been talking about it forever on this show. Forever. It's not new in my heart. Okay, now we got the news from the community. And find out what is going on and who's it going on with. Good morning, Nolan.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great, Ms. Sharon. How are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. I am excellent. Nolan Williams is giving us some news from the community, or for the community, rather. And, Nolan, I probably would have done this different, but I just found out. And, excuse me, occasionally I can pull off a miracle. So
that we know. Thank you so much for accommodating us.
Okay, let me see. I got to work some magic here. But anyway, because for those that may not be aware, I do things in advance. And maybe next time I will know about things a little further along so we can make sure that you get more attention on this wonderful production that you are bringing to Nashville. You are the writer and music director, as well as producer, and we're happy to have your time this morning to talk about something wonderful that you are bringing to the region. So, Nolan, what city are you in?
I'm based in Washington, D.C.
Oh, well, how's the weather there?
Well, the weather is good. You know, this is what my mom calls pneumonia weather, because it's up and down. You know, we're having great weather today, but it was cold on yesterday. Yeah. So, you know, go figure.
Well, mama's right. You know that, right?
Mama's right. Mama's always right. Let's be
clear. Amen. Now, Nolan, you are quite an accomplished man, and that was one among the reasons why I wanted to have you talk about this production, because it's coming up this week, and I'm sure many of the people here in our community would be excited to come and partake in it. So give us the overview of the production and all the excitement that is connected with it.
Sure. Well, Sharon, first of all, thank you again for accommodating us. And I know it was short notice, but thank you so much. The project, the production is called Stirring the Waters Across America. Mm-hmm. And it is a 90-minute production that revisits highlights from the American Civil Rights Movement from 1954 to 1968, making connections between then and now. The story is revealed through musical selections, and we're really excited. We workshopped this project at the Kennedy Center last year, and now the project is touring across the country, and Nashville is the first stop. So this is the premiere of this production, Stirring the Waters Across America, with a national cast of just amazing talent based out of New York, Dallas, Atlanta, D.C., and Baltimore. And 90-minute production. We're thrilled to be partnering with Vanderbilt University to bring this to Nashville.
That is beautiful. And so you guys are hitting the road, literally, after this production here in Nashville.
Yes, the production will be traveling around the country. Mm-hmm. It's not going to travel in the way that shows normally do. You know, normally there are people that are working behind the scene. They basically rent a lot of venues and put a lot of dates back to back. But what we are working to do is to partner with educational, cultural, and grassroots organizations in every city that we go in order to maximize the impact of this project, because this production is a great platform for facilitating conversation around social justice and race. And as I was just listening to your broadcast before I came on, I mean, you know what's going on in our country. And we are really intentional about wanting to use this production as a tool to bring community together to have those inconvenient conversations that really need to be had. And so even following this production, we'll have a talk back that's going to be facilitated by Dr. Alicia Lois Jones, who is assistant professor of ethnomusicology out of Indiana University Bloomington. And this production is also the culmination of 3 days of Stirring the Waters that Vanderbilt University is putting together, including a forum on economic justice on Wednesday and other conversations that they'll be having leading up to our production. And so that's the exciting part. You know, as we roll out other cities, we are looking to work with organizations that have a mind for bringing communities together, for convening conversations around social justice, for empowering communities, because there are lots of calls to action that we hope people will take away, not the least of which is that in an election year, we need everyone to get out and vote to exercise their right and their responsibility in that civic manner. And so we're excited about this project and, all that's happening with it.
Let me ask you your opinion, since you're, you know, a traveler and, you know, working at this level that you are. Do you find that people don't know things historically, or is there fear of, you know, having the discussion? And I mean, it seems like there's been like this stagnation, no growth, that we're still scared to say things, or still, you know, tap dancing. And I mean, it just seems kind of really, I mean, so what is your assessment?
Yeah, you know, Michael Jackson recorded a song that I believe Sarita, I think her name is Sarita Jackson, wrote, called The Man in the Mirror, right? The hardest thing for any of us to do is really face ourselves. And it's hard for us as individuals, it's hard for us as communities, it's certainly hard for us as a nation. It's much easier for us to deal with matters that, you know, like with the Holocaust, we can point to those those Nazis over there, you know. With other atrocities, we can point to those, you know, with 9-1-1, Al-Qaeda and, you know, those people over there. With civil rights, we can't point the finger at anyone else. We have to point the finger at ourselves. And particularly for our white American brothers and sisters to look at what it means to really bring equality and parity to all matters on all levels of life here in America. That's a hard conversation. It's an inconvenient conversation. It's a tough conversation because it means accepting a level of responsibility that ultimately rests within yourself. And so, you know, I think that really is. So it's much easier to just act like it doesn't exist or to, you know, tuck your head between your legs or in the sand and just pretend like everything is okay. And that's the tough part. That really is the tough part. And then, you know, for black folk, it's hard always feeling like you're in the position of having to justify or having to explain or having to relive all of this, you know? And so it becomes, and that we're always, you know, having to teach, right? That becomes a hard thing. But it's where we are, and I think all of us have that responsibility then to seize whatever platforms we have to try to draw attention as much as we can. And that's what I'm doing with this project, and just really grateful to have folk like Vanderbilt University who catch the vision for this and say, yeah, this is what we need to be doing in these times. And so I really want to recognize Dean Emily Towns and Dr. Teresa Smallwood over at the Divinity School and all of the departments of the school that have really thrown their support behind this project to bring this to the city.
Well, they have the vision and the money. Okay, amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because,
absolutely.
See, that's how you really, in this country, get things done.
And, absolutely.
You know, you can't move a needle at all without that. I mean, just in 2020, that's what it's all about. I think it's exciting, and I hope that people will come this week and see this production. How many years?
It's Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. at Langford Auditorium. Friday, 7 p.m. in Langford.
How many years have you been in, you know, writing and production, et cetera? Is this lifelong for you?
Oh, my goodness. I've been doing productions for, many years. Let's put it this way. My company, New Works Productions, is 17 years old.
Okay.
And so we've been doing productions, theatrical productions, concerts, special events, educational programming and the like for 17 years. So it's been quite a journey.
Excellent. Well, I wish you the best, and I hope Nashville comes out for you.
Yeah, and let me send people to our website, newworksproductions.com. Now, it's a weird spelling. It's New Works with one W. So N-E-W-O-R-K-S productions.com.
Okay.
People can go there, find out more about the project, get tickets, and it's absolutely free. Did I mention that? It's free.
Glory.
So this is for the community.
Magic words.
Broadway level production for free coming to Langford Auditorium this Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Wow.
You know, there's no excuse for people not to come.
Stirring the waters across America. And, you know, Langford holds, what, 1,500?
Yeah, about 1,000 seats, so we really do need the community to come out.
Definitely. Don't let these people bring this production, and there's only 34 people there, y'all, please.
Please.
I mean, you know, come on, Nashville. Anyway, and again, your website and information is where?
Sure. No, New Works Productions, New Works with one W, .com. NewWorksProductions.com, and it's this Friday.
Okay.
February 28th, 7:30 p.m. at Langford Auditorium. Free tickets. People can go right to the website and then connect with the link on Eventbrite and register.
Uh-huh.
That way we'll have your name and reserve a seat for you.
Now, Nolan, do you know if Vanderbilt has information on their site as well?
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
I'm sure they do. So if you go to the Divinity School's website, I'm sure it's there as well.
Okay. Well, while you're there, be sure to walk down Perry Wallace Way And since he has been that street named after him, and you'll probably you'll probably hear about a lot about that when you're there on the campus.
I look forward to it.
Oh, as well. Thank you so much, Nolan Williams Jr. He is.
Thank you so much, Sharon Kay.
All right, you have a great rest of the day. All right, bye bye.
All right, blessings. Bye bye.
Uh huh. He's composer and producer, and this Stirring the Waters Across America. They're going to hit the road, y'all, after this one. So, you know, they're really going to work it out for Nashville. And actors, singers, dancers, musicians from all over the country are part of this major production. So we wish them the very best. And congratulations to Vanderbilt for doing it, for working in conjunction with this production. Langford Auditorium, the 28th, and it's free. Fifi, you know, I probably got paid to park down there, don't you think? I'm thinking. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Main Street Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net.
Smooth and contemporary jazz music lovers, tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest releases. This week's WFSK featured Artist of the Week is guitarist Adam Hawley. His latest release is entitled Escape. Don't miss the WFSK feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour on Thursdays right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station. Support for WFSK comes from TPAC, presenting world-renowned Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater in two new programs featuring three Nashville premieres and Ailey's joyful classic, Revelations, closing each performance. Coming to TPAC February 28th and 29th. Tickets available at TPAC.org.
88.1 WFSK FM. Fisk University, Nashville.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in it. All over it. enjoyed coffee in it today. WFSK Jazzy 88, celebrating 47 years of service. This gift to Nashville radio station is celebrating 47 years of service. And we'll talk more about that soon. Oh, I didn't get to my church announcements last week. I missed them. So let me get right. This one you forwarded me because somebody sent it to you.
Mm-hmm.
From St. Luke AME Church. They're having their 2020 Soul Food Fest and Musical honoring Black History Month this Saturday coming up. And that is the 29th at 901 40th Avenue North from 3 to 8 o'clock. And they're asking for a $15 donation for adults and 5 for kids. And there's food and drinks and desserts included. So when you go, you donate, you eat, and enjoy a soul food fest. And for more information, the church trustee is Ron Pitts, 615-500-1265. Just show up with your $15 and give them 20. Don't ask for no change back. It's a fundraiser. You all know people.
Get a chance for that 20,
folks.
Please.
No, you cannot, because you know you're going to ask for some extra food. you know how people do.
They're going to put that church guilt on you.
Yeah. Can I get on, one more piece of cheese? No.
It's a fundraiser.
No. So can I get that back in ones?
Oh, yeah, that's even. If you could put a dollar in Sunday school, right?
Oh, me. We funny, y'all. We are hysterical. And this one came from Lake Providence Missionary
Pastor
Baptist Church.
Maxwell. Yeah.
And out there on 5891 Knowlesville Pike. Hey, Lake Providence. They're having a Financial Peace University class. If you all are having trouble with your finances,
yeah, they do that a lot.
Get straight.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I mean, living paycheck to paycheck, that's the American way. Are you kidding? You know, everything's so expensive now, you have no choice. And money issues and things of that nature, they're going to help you, you know, get on a budget and get your life together so you can have some peace and tranquility in your life. And it starts on March the 4th. So if you want to sign up for this 10-week class, do it soon. March the 4th is just coming up around the corner. The first one is at 6:30 at Lake Providence, and they will be offering free child care. So that is a plus if you want to go get your peace on and financial peace on, that you don't have to worry about the children. The free children child care is there for you. If you want to register the Lake Providence Church family, asks that you go to their website at lpmbc.org. That's lpmbc.org. Now, let's see what we got here. Let me get back on the trail with what else is happening out here in the news world. Bernie Sanders. You know, that was kind of interesting that they said the Russians were watching him.
Watching him, yeah.
You know, I was kind of thinking in depth when I was standing by the stove.
Yeah.
You know, I said, somebody's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me. And, you know, I said, I smell a rat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is to send more confusion into the air,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I just feel like all of a sudden, now, okay, we know that Trump does not like Joe Biden. He's afraid of him. So he pulled Ukraine in it. And they did cooked up behind the scenes mess. And we still are seeing the fallout.
Yeah, dealing with that.
And now, when did Russia care about Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
So everybody that Trump don't like, they're going to take him down? Is that what?
If they are, they may regret that. Because Bernie Sanders has an opportunity to win, to become the next president if he's the nominee, and what they're not accounting for is the fact that the one thing that Bernie Sanders has that all the other candidates running for the Democratic nominee don't necessarily have, like as much as he has, is the youth vote, and he has that.
But I don't think it's enough.
It will if he has that youth vote and he's able to pick the correct vice president nominee, which in my opinion would be Amy Klobuchar, then I think he can do it. Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. I do.
I do not.
I didn't think so at first, but you know, it's because the alternative would be Trump another 4 years.
Well, but see, and there's people who will drink that milk.
Well,
okay.
Well, I think those are the people who are going to do it anyway.
Love
though.
It.
Yeah, but those people were going to vote for him anyway.
They inhale it, honey.
They just want an excuse.
They will.
But that youth vote is saying something. I mean, he is, because you have to have that youth, you know, because he represents that type of youth movement that we hadn't seen since President Obama was in office. And that's what pushed him evidently over the top.
They better vote.
So, yeah.
And don't be talking about, I'm sorry, I missed it. I was at the such and such.
And it's crazy because he's, what, 78? And I'm not saying things wrong with his age, but I'm just saying it's rare that you see someone at, you know, at that chronologically mature age that engages and has youth that sort of drive his campaign the way they do.
They just, yeah, you know.
But it's still going to be an uphill battle for him because
they're feeling his message.
Yeah, but Joe Biden takes, I think the dynamics of the race are going to change now that we have, we've entered into the primary just about.
Well, I'm not convinced about Bernie Sanders doing it yet. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, I feel you.
So I'll just have to come around or whatever. Yeah. But I'm just,
I'm still hoping Joe can get this nominee.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's a couple of things still in my head that aren't settled in yet. Yeah. Because I see the master of dirty tricks. Mm-hmm. Dirty tricking, and I just really am just, all my alarm bells are going off in my head. Okay,
your like, tax dollars are going to fund such and such.
Well, I mean, it's
Bernie
just
going to
be, it's just going to be so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Bernie Sanders has scored a resounding victory in Nevada's presidential caucuses. His win yesterday cements his status as the Democrats' national frontrunner, though it's also escalating tensions over whether he's too liberal to defeat President Trump. The 78-year-old Vermont senator successfully rallied his loyal base and tapped into support from Nevada's large Latino community as the Democratic contest moved for the first time into a state with a significant minority population. The party's more establishment-minded members have been unable to, so far, unite behind Pete Buttigieg, Joe Biden, or Amy Klobuchar, helping Sanders pull away. So we shall see. My mind is not set in stone on anybody at this time, so I'm going to have to see, because it's just too much. If we were in a different time, and we didn't have all this hijinks going on and utter lie fest. Anyway, out of New Orleans, authorities say a man has been struck by a float and killed by a Mardi Gras and killed during Mardi Gras at a parade in New Orleans. It was the second death in days involving a parade float and cast a pall over the carnival festivities. Police said in a statement that the death occurred last night on a downtown parade route. And I'm certain that the second one in 1 week, oh my goodness, the rest of that parade was canceled. Those people were, you know, and there's a lot of partying and drinking going on, so. Mm-hmm. Might have been some stumbling and stammering.
We'll see.
The New Orleans mayor said the city is grieving anew after a woman was killed on a parade route Wednesday. The man's name wasn't immediately released. Here's another story from the Lord Help Us bag. George Zimmerman. I said the Lord Help Us bag. Whose 2013 acquittal in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, sparked the Black Lives Matter movement, is suing two leading Democratic White House contenders for defamation. On Tuesday, Zimmerman and his attorneys filed a lawsuit in Florida's 10th Judicial District Circuit, alleging U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren and former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg defamed him in their attempt to garner votes in the Black community. The lawsuit said Warren and Buttigieg separate tweets February the 5th. That tweeting stuff really does cause a lot of controversy. Which would have been Trayvon Martin's 25th birthday. Used the killing as a, quote, pretext to demagogue and falsely brand Zimmerman as a white supremacist and racist to their millions of Twitter followers, end quote. On February 26th, 2012, Trayvon Martin, then 17, attacked Zimmerman, then told a Neighborhood Watch volunteer in a Sanford, Florida gated community, Martin, who lived in Miami Gardens, was visiting his father.
Wow, he was still, he would have been sort of in the prime of his youth.
Oh, 25. Yeah. He'd been just like these kids out here. Zimmerman shot and killed Martin, who was unarmed and claimed self-defense. More than a year later, a Florida jury acquitted Zimmerman of murder under the state's Stand Your Ground law. And also, this the absurdity of this is even more. He's also suing the parents of Trayvon. So this man is just desperately seeking whatever he can possibly get his hands on. And
he's just sounds like he can't find work, so he spends his time trying to sue for money.
Something's just amiss in that man's head. Anyway, this is you know, you think you just don't get, there's no end to these stories like this. The Fashion Institute of Technology says it's investigating a controversial runway show that reminded some observers of blackface. The college apologized for accessories donned at the show, which was heavily criticized on social media. The accessories included large prosthetic ears and oversized pink red lips. Oh, Lord. Help us, Lord. We're not past this point yet. But the college said over the weekend that they were not intended to carry racial implications. Well, what were they intended to carry is the question. FIT President Joyce Brown said the independent probe will examine what led up to the February 7th event. One model called the accessories racist and refused to wear them while walking the runway. So, giant ears and big red lips. Now let me see, what could that be? I don't know. Now you all already know we don't like that stuff. Why are you gonna throw it up in somebody's face? Anyway, next time you're in Miami.
All right, okay. Going to Miami.
Hey, Grammy Award-winning singer Pharrell may have been fired from fast food jobs in the past, but that didn't stop him from opening what has become one of the hottest restaurants in Miami. The singer is in town for the South Beach Wine and Food Festival to host a soul food brunch with his dad, who is Pharrell. Pharrell and Pharrell. Well, leave it to Pharrell to name his son Pharrell. Pharrell Williams is a self-taught chef. Pharrell says food is a connector, and cooking was at the heart of the Williams home. The singer opened upscale Swan Restaurant in 2018. It's a popular spot among celebrity diners. DJ Khalid and actors Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul were among those who attended yesterday's $150 plate lunch.
Wow.
Lord, what Big you have balls. On that
yeah,
plate,
what's on that
baby?
Plate? $50 for a hamburger, $25 for fries, and then another $25 for your drink.
No, you got to pay for the lettuce and tomatoes, too. That's an extra 10 and 10.
Yeah, wow.
And don't want no Dijon mustard or that kind of stuff. $150. So we think the fast food is high now. It doesn't say what they had it for the $150. But clearly he's going to do well. Because you all know folks will pay it and they love to eat. So he's going to do very
well. Yeah, that's a perfect selfie opportunity. Yeah. You can pull, I'm at Pharrell's. Look at me.
Well, his daddy's the chef. Mm-hmm. You know, his daddy's the chef, man. So he's going to be posing too.
Yeah.
And keeping it all in the family, in the Williams family. That's how you do it, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're coming back with Gina Thomas. She's a writer, speaker, and missionary. Her new book is Separated by the Border. So we'll be finding out more about that story. And Gina, because I believe she's from Chattanooga, man. I think so. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.